So on Srila Radhanath Swami's order, I will try to say something. And I will surrender to his order. His Grace Gopi Pranadana Prabhu yesterday, when explaining the Govardhan pastime, he said this word surrender, papadyante, it doesn't exactly, you can't exactly translate it in English, because in English, surrender has more a sense of force, while in Sanskrit, it has more a sense of love and willingness. So as Vaishnavas, we follow the order and we speak and we perform devotional activities to please our acharyas, to please the Vaishnavas. And only in that mood will there be any spiritual potency manifest. In Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, when Srila Jiva Goswami, at the very, very beginning, he's offering prayers. Of course, he calls himself Jivaka. The name Jivaka, when you put ka at the end of something, it makes it even smaller. Like if you say bala, child, balaka, very, 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 very small child. So if you say jiva, and he says jivaka, he's a very, very insignificant jiva is compiling this book. And what is the reason? For the pleasure of Srila Rupa Goswami and for the pleasure of Srila Sanatan Goswami. Unless we perform all our activities in this mood, they will not benefit us. Because unless we perform devotional activities for others rather than ourselves, they won't deepen us in devotional service. I think there's a prayer by Prahlad Maharaj, where Prahlad Maharaj, he makes a statement that if one is not a devotee, even if he has all 12 brahminical qualities, he cannot purify even himself. But if one is a Vaishnava, even if he's born in a family of dog eaters, he can purify the whole world. This means, you see, he's talking about a person who has socham, satyam, shamo, damas, tapo, saucham, shantir, arjavam, evacha, gyanam, vigyanam, astikyam. He's talking about a person who has all these qualities. Why cannot a person with all these qualities purify even himself if he's not a Vaishnava? Because a Vaishnava means one who is humble, one who is free from ahankara or false ego. And if you're not free from ahankara or false ego, then whatever you do, even if it's apparently good, will only increase your false ego. I am religious, I am knowledgeable. But if one is a devotee, and he's humble, even if the external qualities may not be so exalted, he can purify everyone. Why? What does purification mean? Actually, Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita, he gave such a nice, almost like a mantra for perfection. and I always repeat it, he said the perfected state of being entity is called a devotee. A devotee means one who is devoted. It means one who is a servant. So to purify one, you have to teach them to become a servant. And if you're doing things for yourself, because you're not a servant, if you're not a devotee, you're not a servant, then how can you purify others? So this is actually the qualification and conclusion of all the Vedas. I was reading in Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, and it was very, very edifying, because as I was reading, I was realizing more and more how Srila Prabhupada gave us the essence of Krishna consciousness. And I was reading one verse, Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Tata Deve Tata Guru, that one who has implicit faith in the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord can understand the imports of the Vedas. Now, to understand the import of something, you have to actually, if you're going to study a book and you're going to understand, you have to understand its theme, what that book is ultimately trying to say. And if you understand what that book is ultimately trying to say, then you can understand everything in that book in context. And if you don't, you can't understand it. So in this verse, Jiva Goswami gives a very, very interesting insight that the whole purpose of the Vedas is liberation. And what does liberation mean? Liberation means to be free from the false ego. So unless one is acting on that platform, he will not be able to realize what the Vedas say. And therefore, when one has implicit faith in the spiritual master, implicit faith in the Supreme Lord, he has become a servant of the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. And because he's become a servant of the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord, then he can understand what the Vedas are saying. So this is actually our qualification and our entrance, which Srila Prabhupada has so expertly instructed us. Radhanath Swami, one time he was at Govindakund, and he spoke for 2 hours. I wasn't there. But one of his disciples came back, and Burijan Prabhu asked her, well, what did Radhanath Swami speak about? And she said, he spoke for 2 hours on being the servant of the servant. And Burijan Prabhu, actually, he was thinking, this is actually very excellent teaching. Because when you want someone to understand the most important thing, you repeat it again and again and again. Guru Nishtha means humility. And therefore, Prabhupada taught that, as Maharaj was saying, that if one actually, Prabhupada guaranteed, if one surrenders to the spiritual master, then he will attain perfection. It's a simple, it's not a simple thing. As Prabhupada said, that the process is simple, the application is difficult. The process is simple because there's no material qualification for that. But the application is difficult. What bhakti is the topmost yoga, because it's getting rid of the root of material consciousness, which is the false ego. So Boyajian was actually appreciating that this actually is the essence of spiritual life. And a very nice example that I heard, and I like to hear new things. And I heard something very, a new and simple analogy that sums up what Prabhupada taught about our ultimate bhajan siksha, our ultimate instruction on how to practice devotional service. And the example is simple, and it gave a very traditional family in Indian culture. And there's a young girl. And the young girl, she has an identity. And her identity is, I am the daughter of my father. Then she gets married, and she makes a commitment, and she has a new identity. I am the wife of my husband. The activities are the same, the consciousness is different. So the analogy was given, this is initiation. This is our process. When we take initiation, our perfection is we change our identity. It's simple. Maybe not our activities, our identity. We are, whatever our particular identity is, nationalistic, gender, etc., then our identity becomes changed. I am the servant of my spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada taught us that this commitment will bring us to perfection. Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his room in Calcutta, and he was thinking to himself how he became successful. And he was thinking out loud, saying, how have I become the lucky one? What was his fortune? His fortune was that he was used as an instrument for the will of his spiritual master. So he was thinking, how did I become so fortunate? And in a humble way, he was thinking of his godbrothers who were extremely exalted souls, both materially and spiritually. Very, very qualified people. In fact, there's a historical, a point in history where Subhash Chandra Bose was reacting to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's preaching because he was getting such qualified people. And he actually visited Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. But because they were strict brahmacharis and sannyasis, they were all very, very thin and hungry looking. So he just pointed to them and said, no, they will not be any use to you. But they were very qualified people. And Prabhupada was thinking to himself, how was I the lucky one? How was I the lucky one? And then he thought to himself, he said, because I was 100% faithful to the order of my spiritual master. In New York, I would like to visit Second Avenue. It would be my place of pilgrimage. And I remember I would come from New Jersey and get off the train and Fifth Avenue, and I would walk, and I would be in that mood of pilgrimage. And then I would go there, I would think of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada would be, we'd hear these tapes from 1966 of Srila Prabhupada, and in those tapes, Prabhupada would be thinking, and you would hear the rumbling outside and the noise, and the Lower East Side was not a very aristocratic place, to say the least. And Prabhupada was thinking, because he had everything. Prabhupada had Vrindavan, and he had the real Vrindavan. Vishyachriya kabe shudeha beman kabe hama heravo shri Vrindavan dam. When you're free from material desires, and your mind is peaceful, then you will see Vrindavan. Prabhupada had everything. Vrindavan was everything, spiritually and materially. And he was thinking, why have I come to this place? Why have I come to this place? And then he thought, and he says, it is simply the order of my spiritual master. So this is our main bhajan siksha. This is our main instruction. We change our consciousness. We change our identity. And that identity of selfless servant is Braja Bhakti. Sometimes we think of Braja Bhakti and we see different forms. And there are young ladies and they're exchanging and they're joking. But we should see the consciousness, the bhava. And the bhava is selfless servant. And that begins with the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. So we are very, very fortunate to be in this Bhaktivedanta Marg, which is leading to Braj by giving us the pure consciousness of Braj. And from that pure consciousness of Braj, the form of Braj will automatically manifest. So we're coming to these wonderful places and coming to the places and following the Acharya. It is the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave instructions about parikram that we must be completely a servant of the spiritual master and the guide who takes us on, and then we'll see Vrindavan. When I take people on parikram, I always tell them, because sometimes you go to Govardhan, you wind up in the same place if you do a full parikram, look at what you see now. You will not be seeing the same thing. And I was thinking today on parikram, it's so auspicious. Just, we're sitting there by the side of Govardhan. We're chanting and hearing about Krishna. And then Govardhan manifests. Govardhan means the cows. Radhanath Swami once chastised me out of affection because I did such a bad thing. He couldn't help it. He had come to Vrindavan and I was wearing a pair of Birkenstock shoes and they look like they're leather, and when he saw those shoes he was shocked. He looked at them, he said, how can you wear those shoes? He said, in Vrindavan, the cows are even more dear to Krishna than the Brahmins. I got rid of those shoes. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanihitaya Cha Jagaditaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So Prabhupada gave us the Bhaktivedanta Marg, which leads to Braja Bhakti. He gave us that consciousness. He stressed it. He emphasized it. He exemplified it. And he gave us a mission to engage us in that consciousness. I'll just say one more short thing about Prayojana. Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojana Acharya. I'm not sure, someone could look it up, but I think the introductory verse for Mukta Charita, if someone could look it up, or someone, I think it's Nama Shreshtam Manumapi Satchiputram Atra Sarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Uruparim Matara Ghostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Maho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Patita Kripaya Shri Gurum Moste. The gifts of the spiritual master. Raghunath Das Goswami was meditating on the gifts. And what's the best gift? Nama Shreshtam. The best thing is the holy name of Krishna, which takes that humble mood. But Piyojana means the goal. In any philosophy, there's three aspects of that philosophy, whether it is astic or gnostic. Whether it's atheist or theistic, they have a definition of reality, a method of realizing it, and then the experience of realizing it. So in the Vaishnav philosophy are sambandhigyan, or reality, is Sri Krishna. Our abhideya gyan, or method of realizing it, is bhakti, or devotional service. And the experience of that reality is called prema. And what is that experience of because what is reality? Reality is Krishna and his energies. Krishna and his devotees. That's reality. When you have reality, you have the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And the devotees have a natural relationship with that Supreme Reality Krishna because they're part of that Supreme Reality Krishna. And what is the attraction between two people in a relationship? That's called prema, or love. But because we are blinded to the absolute reality by our pride and envy, we are not seeing the absolute reality, and therefore we're not experiencing the absolute reality. But when you turn towards Krishna by bhakti or devotion, because why are we not experiencing the absolute reality? Icha dvesha samutena dvanda mohena bharata. Icha dvesha, separate independent pride, which leads to dvesha or hate or aversion. Due to our attitude of aversion to that absolute reality Krishna, we are blinded. That's called maya. There is nothing outside of God. But we're an illusion. We don't see what is there. And it's all based on this attitude of non-devotion, not wanting to surrender to Krishna. And therefore, when we again turn towards Krishna and change the attitude that has blinded us to the Supreme Lord, by performing pure devotional service, then again, that veil of maya will be lifted and will be situated in that ultimate reality, which is Krishna and his devotees. We will be Krishna's devotees and we'll see Krishna, and the natural attraction in our heart will be there. That's called Priyojana. And where is that Priyojana fully manifest? Vrindavan. When we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, what do we see? we see that experience when one is no longer blinded towards God and how he feels in his heart. Just like Maharaj was describing the Govardhan Leela, everyone was loving Krishna. I was reading in that Kaliya pastime, my favorite part of that Kaliya pastime, which to me exemplifies the spiritual world, is when Nanda Maharaj is in his village, and then all of a sudden he sees these omens in the sky. The meteors start to come, the ground starts to shake, the left eye on the men start to twitch, and they're thinking, inauspiciousness. What is happening? And Balaram is home today, it's his birthday. Krishna is alone in the woods, and there is danger. Immediately. And it said that the residents of Vrindavan felt like a cow lamenting over its helpless calf. I was once trying to exemplify this story, and I was giving a class in New Jersey, and maybe you know, yeah, Mahesh Pandit, and his daughter is your disciple, and her name is Krishangi. So he was there, Mahesh Pandit, and I looked at him, I said, Mahesh Pandit, I said, what happens if it was September 11th? How would you feel if your daughter was in the Wall Street area of Manhattan? And even though I was just telling a story, he almost had a heart attack. And that's the way we should feel about Krishna's Leela. We know the ending. We know the ending. But if we see Krishna and hear about Krishna in the coils of that Kaliya serpent, lifeless, we should feel it. We should feel it. So they felt and they began to search through Vrindavan. And they were looking for Krishna's footprints. Because Krishna's footprints are so revered that no living entity in Vrindavan will ever step over Krishna's footprints. That's what Krishna consciousness means. You're fully focused on Krishna. So this is Prayojana. And this is what Raghunath Das Goswami was experiencing at every moment. So the residents of Vrindavan began to search for Krishna. And it said the small children, the elders, everyone was searching. So they were looking for Krishna's footprints. And what would the mother of Krishna think when she saw Krishna's footprints? What would she say? My child! My child! My child! Out of love! And what would the friends be saying? My friend! My friend! My friend! And what would the gopis be saying? My lover! My lover! My lover! My friend! My friend! My lover! My lover! My child! My friend! My lover! Krishna! 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 Just like the six Goswamis. Hey Rad, hey Vrajadeva, ke chalalite, hey Nanda Suno Kutaha. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Completely absorbed. And therefore, the example interestingly given for Prem Bhakti in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is Bhishma Dev. Very interesting, because it's a good example for us. he was involved in so many activities. And he, it said he spoke on so many things. But at the end, he completely focused his consciousness on Krishna. There's nothing else in the consciousness but Krishna. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. The intelligence is completely filled with that attraction for Krishna. Because that's ultimate reality means there's nothing but Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada said that the pure devotees, they are thrilled at every moment. So Raghunath Das Goswami is our Priyojana Acharya, because he came here to Radhakund, and he would be chanting the holy name, and just chanting in his heart, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Prabhupada said we should chant Hare Krishna like a child who's crying for his mother. And therefore the first part of our prema, because prema means there's nothing in the consciousness but Krishna. And we look at the perfected souls and we practice what they do. Just like a codicil for the perfected souls, they're so satisfied with Krishna. They feel this is the day of Lord Hari. They're so happy that it's Lord Krishna's day that they begin to glorify him and chant. And therefore, they're so satisfied they don't eat. So the sadhana for that is you glorify Krishna and you give up your bodily demands. Sadhana means that you practice what the siddhas do. So if prema is the full consciousness on Krishna, then our practice is attentive chanting. Krishna is there in his name. We are there as his devotees. What is missing except our prema? Everything is there except our mood or attitude. So we turn towards God in love, we focus on his name. As Prabhupada said, we hear that sound vibration. That's Krishna. We're his devotees. And then what happens? Then we say, but I have no attraction. We say, I have no attraction. And if in our consciousness we embrace that, if in our consciousness we embrace that in a mood of humility, then the taste will come. Why will the taste come? What prevents us from seeing Krishna? It's offense only. It's only offense. And what protects one from offense? It's humility. Just as the eyelid protects the eye, humility protects our consciousness from offense. And if we have humility and we approach Krishna, I have no attraction. That humble mood will allow us to chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the second verse of this Shikshastakam. So I'll just finish by saying, just look around here. This is a wonderful place. We're seeing the original untouched Braja or Vrindavan with the cows and the breezes of Vrindavan, which are moving to give Krishna pleasure. So when we feel these cool breezes, this is the prasadam of Krishna. The difference between breezes here and breezes other places is these breezes, Vrindavan is moving consciously to make Krishna happy. So we can relish this very, say, I've never been here. I've been in Vrindavan almost 30 years. Marge is my Dham Guru. He actually brought me on my first parikram. And I remember he was chanting the Sad Goswami Astakam, and I didn't even know what the song was. He kept on saying, Vande, we were in Madan Mohan. And he was thinking, Vande Rupa Sanatano Raguyago. So I said, what is this song? I have to learn it. And then he told me the secret of parikram, and I never forgot it. Honestly, I never went on parikram before he took me. He said, come on, let's go. And he said, the secret that the parikram moves by kirtan. And then you surrender to the kirtan, and the holy name shows you Braj. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you, Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj. Let us offer our heartfelt gratitude by chanting Hari. Very beautiful, thank you. So now, in the sacred land of Malyahara Kund, near the banks of Sri Radha and Sham Kund, you may all take prasad. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Shri Malyahara Kund ki jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Jai Jai Sri Radha.